And the people began to engage in relations with the daughters of Moab. Batikdeno la'am lizivchei lehen. They invited the non-Jews, the Moabites, invited the people to the sacrifices that they made to their gods. Vayochal ha'am, the people ate. Vayishtachavu le'lohehen, and they bowed down to their gods. You know, like so much has taken place in two psukim. We're talking about a people that have been going 40 years through the desert, have experienced and lived with miracles. God is there with them all the time, and they simply, it seems like they fall apart at the first contact with another nation. Like, there it is, it's all gone. Where was all the Torah that they learned, and where were all of the experiences day in and day out? They most probably ate mon in the morning, and were committing indecent and immoral acts in the afternoon. By some of Yisrael Baal Pa'or, and Israel became attached to Baal Pa'or. Baal Pa'or is the name of the idol that they served. By Yicharav Hashem, the Son of God, got angry with Israel. By Yom Hashem and Moshe, we're not going to understand everything fully. We're going to try and understand whatever we can. It'll take a long, long time to explain all of the details of what's happening here. But let's get the text. By Yom Hashem and Moshe, God said to Moshe, Kach et kol Roshei Ha'am, take all of the leaders of the people, the Hokah Utam Lashem Neged Hashemesh, and hang them by day before God, the Ashov Charonaf Hashem Yisrael, those who were the leaders of this wanton, sensual, I don't know what other words to use, bad. The bad things that were done. They have to be punished. And God's anger will go back to the children of Israel. Vayom ha-Moshe al-Shofti Yisrael, Moshe said to the judges of Israel, Hirgu ish anoshev, each man kill those. The Gemara explains to me that they were judged, each one who had sinned was judged by the Sanhedrin. Kill those who are who attach themselves to Baal Pa'or. Right. This is the general story of a moment in history where the Jewish people slid down a slippery slope and sank into the quagmire of immorality. Behine, and behold, here part of this whole story is a very specific story. A man from the children of Israel came by Yakrevel Echovet HaMidyanit. He brought the Midianite woman before his brother, Leinei Moshe, in the eyes of Moshe, Uleinei Koladav B'nei Yisrael, in the eyes of the entire congregation of Israel. They were crying at the entrance to the Moed, to the Mishkan. Vayar Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron. But that pasuk, by the way, if you didn't understand the pasuk, that's okay. Oh. It's written in a very esoteric way. Yes.
Why did Moshe do as God told him?
Why?
Didn't Moshe do as God told him?
Do what? Why didn't Moshe? I can't.
Why didn't Moshe do as God told him to do?
He did.
He didn't.
He did. I thought you were asking.
He said, kill. Hang the leaders.
Yeah. The job has to be done by many people. It's not a job for one person. That's why I said that they were being judged before a Bet Din. This was not a what they call in Hebrew a Bet Din Sadeh. We're not talking about that. Not a kangaroo court. So it's not something that Moshe could do alone. there are other questions that can be asked here. But wait, you know, let's go. Vayar Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron, HaKohen, Pinchas the son of Elazar, the son of Aaron, the Kohen, saw what was happening, and we'll see right away what happened. Vayakom mitoch ha'eda, he stood up from amongst the congregation, Vayikach Roma b'yado, and he took a spear in his hand, Vayavo achar ish Yisrael l'akuba, and he came. He came, or he followed the Israelite man into the tent, Vayitkor et shnehem, he pierced them both, he ran them through with his spear, at Ish Yisrael, the man from Israel, Beto Isha, and the woman, El Kubata, into her stomach. Vateyatzara Mageifa. As they were in the process of this immoral act, he runs them through, kills them. Vateyatzara Mageifa of Bnei Yisrael, and the plague that was coming upon the Jewish people was halted. 24,000 people died in the plague. We're talking about a terrible story. Terrible story. Yes.
The pasuk before. Why are they crying? Who's crying? Who's crying? And why?
Let's say the following. You're going to have trust in me. You're going to have to trust me that I'm going to deal with certain aspects of this parsha, and I cannot deal with all of them, and some of your questions may be answered, others not. In Yirat Hashem, we hope to have many years together that we will be learning, and but I cannot do Kol HaTorah Kula, and especially in this extremely difficult parsha. So you just, I'm trying to do what I can within the limitations of time that I have. All right. Now, here comes something fascinating. By the way, here is a parsha that ends on an extremely, extremely negative note. You know, I always find it fascinating that the parsha ends on a negative note, and the rest of the story is in this week's Sedra. Why couldn't it all have been in one Sedra? Either in this week's or last week's, no, the story is divided in two. And in our Sedra, this week's Sedra, it says, Rabbi Hashem Moshe Lemor, God spoke to Moshe saying, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen, the one who committed what seems to be a terribly cruel and brutal act, this Pinchas, the son of Elazar, the son of Aaron, the Kohen, Heshivat Chamatimi al Bnei Yisrael, he has removed, turned back my wrath from upon the children of Israel. Bekanoet Kanati B'tocham, when he zealously avenged me in their midst, Velochi Liti al Bnei Yisrael Bekanati, because of him I did not destroy the Jewish people in my vengeance. They were doing a terrible thing. Two terrible things they were doing. They had begun to engage in relations with Midianite and Moabite women, and they had also become attached to this idol called Baal Peor. I mean, two of the biggies. Two of the biggies. This, of course, raises the wrath of God. And who is the one that turns back the wrath of God? It's Pinchas and Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen. Lachein Amor, therefore say, Hineni notein lo et briti shalom, tell him that I give him my covenant of peace. That's one thing, that he need not fear. Mepharshim say he need not fear that there are going to be those who will attack him physically and verbally for what he did. He will be safe. Because we're going to find out in a moment that the person who he killed was the prince of the tribe of Shimon. The prince of the tribe of Shimon. And this shall be for him and his children afterwards a covenant of kahuna. The Kohanim that had been set aside to serve God were Aaron and his four children. They were anointed. Only Aaron and his four children. Two of them, of course, died when they brought a strange Nadav Avihu, they brought a sacrifice fire for which they had not been commanded to do so. Now Pinchas is not a Kohen, though he's from the family. He is now given an eternal covenant. He becomes a Kohen and his children afterwards. And it really means forever. Chazal say that Eliyahu was Pinchas, or Eliyahu came from Pinchas, and Eliyahu is around all the time. The same issues. And this shall be for him and to his children afterwards an eternal covenant of Kahuna. Tachas asher kinyan l'kam, because he took God's revenge, v'yechaper al bnei Yisrael, and through that he brought atonement to the children of Israel. V'shem ish Yisrael hamuka asher hukot hamidyanit, Zimri ben Salu. It's fascinating that in the story as it is related in Parashat Balak, there are no names. There are no names. Only now are we told their names. Only now we are told their names, because if not for the fact that Pinchas now is lifted to greatness, and now we have to know what was the greatness. What did he do? Not merely that he killed a man and woman, but that the man was the prince of Shimon, and the woman was a princess of the royal house of Midian. The same ish Yisrael Amukah, the Jewish man who was struck, Ashurukat HaMidyanit, Zimri ben Salui, who was struck together with the Midyanit, was Zimri ben Salui, Nisi Beit Avos Shimari. He was a prince of one of the families of Shimon. The same Ha'isha Amukah, and the woman who was struck, the Midyanit woman, was Cosby Batsur, Rosh Umot Beitav the Midyanhu. They were the head of a family in Midyan. All right, end of story. End of story. So you don't understand. All right. Maybe by the end of this year, you'll understand a little bit. That, you know, every year, you'll understand a little more. There's something sort of that one cannot see simply by reading the parasha. You have to take a little bit of a broader look. Who are the protagonists over here? Who are the antagonists here? Who's pitted against who? A prince of the tribe of Shimon and a member of the house of Levi. A long time ago, about 400 years earlier, Shimon and Levi took their swords and they massacred the city of Shechem, an act of zealousness. And when their father confronts them, and he tells them, look what you have done. We are going to be in grave danger from all of the people around here. Their great response is, Hachizono yaseh achosenu. Are we going to commit our sister to be treated like a harlot? Fact is, their act was an act of kanaot. Kanaot. Kanaot can be bad. Kanaot can be good. The only time you can really know whether Kanaot is good or bad is sometimes in the course of history. It may take a while until you find out. And you know what? There's another thing. The same Kanaot can ultimately lead to very great things and also can lead others to disaster. Take a look at what happens. Where does Levi appear again? When Moshe comes down from the mountain, after he sees Jews, and he sees Jews who are dancing around the Agels, he says, Mil Hashem Eli, who joins me? Who is for God with me? Who gathers around him? Who are the great zealots? The tribe of Levi. The tribe of Levi. So you know what we see now? That original zealousness in Shechem was of a positive nature, and here it is expressing itself again in a positive way. Where do we find the next act of zealousness of Shimon? Find it right here. That kanaot, then, for Dina, ultimately becomes a kanaot, a zealousness that is ugly and evil. Zimri is going to be standing up for the right of people to marry whomever they want. That's not the whole story. That's not the whole story. So sort of the proof in of kanaot comes only in the wake of history. Now, what I want to do now is, once we know the story, or we think we know the story, or we superficially know the story, I just want to take a few lessons from it, a few moral lessons. And I want to start number two. One word we're going to talk about, Vayeshev. Vayeshev Yisrael Beshitim. The Torah Tamimah brings the Gemara in Sanhedrin that says, Vayeshev Yisrael Omer Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said, Kol Mokom Shenema Vayeshev Eino Elo Loshon Tsar. Wherever it says the word Vayeshev, and Israel settled, it means it's going to bring to pain. Va'afocha, here also, Vayeshev Yisrael Beshitim, they settled down in Shittim, Vayochel Ha'om Liznot al Benot Ma'av, and the people began to commit harlotry with the daughters of Moab. Before we go back to the Torah to me, let's go to 3 and 4. The Sifri, the Tana, the Tanaitic Medrash on Parshat Balak says, Vayesh Yisrael Beshitim, slightly different than the Gemara. Our Gemara says wherever it says Vayeshev, it means tsar, pain. The Sifri says Ein Yeshiva Bechol Makom Ki Im Kalkala, that something is going wrong. Something is seriously wrong. Shenema, and they bring a one proof from the Egel. After they made the Egel, it says Vayeshev Ha'am Lechol V'Shasho. The people sat down to eat and drink, v'omer, and it also says when the brothers had cast Yosef into the pit, it says vayeshu lechol lechem, they sat down to eat bread. The Netziv, now Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin explains the following, b'zeh haloshen, wherever the Gemara uses the term ein ki im, kol makom, wherever you have it, like here, ein yeshiva b'chol makom, ki im kalkala. It always means something bad. It always means something bad. By the way, the first thing you should have perked up is Vayeshev Yaakov be'eretz migurei aviv. Parashat Yaakov. Yaakov lived in the land of where his fathers lived. So therefore, Rashi over there brings, it says, Bikesh Yaakov Leshet, Shalvo Yaakov wanted to live in peace and tranquility. Kofatz Olav came down upon him, the anger and the suffering and the pain of Yosef. Now, the Netziv says, wherever you have this kind of a formula, ein blank, ki im, except such and such, it means Mashmid de echad lo nedar bilti kavonazu. It means there is no place else throughout all of Tanakh. You're not going to find a Vayeshev that does not have something very negative about it. Ela bechol makom mamish. Wherever, indeed, wherever it says Lashon Yeshiva, the term of Yeshiva, sitting, settling, Al Kalkol, it means something is going wrong. Vafilu b'umol sa'olam nidra shachi. Alam sa'olam b'tkufas dora floga. It says in Noah, the generation of those who built the generation of those who built the Tower of Babel. Aleya Nema, it says Vayimtzu Biko Beret Shino, they found the valley of the land of Shino, Vayeshvu Sham. Vayeshvu Sham, they too, and they ultimately became the ones who wanted to build the Tower of Babel. The Chazal Dorshu, Om Rab Yitzchak, Kol Mokm Shatomotza Yeshiva, wherever you find Yeshiva settling in Hasata Mekatle, the Satan comes there and creates trouble. So the Netziv explains, Ha'inyan Shenikva Horos Loshin Zerot Kavonazu, the word Vayeshev, built into that word is the idea that something may go seriously wrong, because there are other words that could have been used. You can use the word Vayichan, and he encamped, or Vayogar, and he lived. So he said, the Ksiv Yeshiva, and it doesn't say Vayogar or Vayichan, Ella, She Yechashvu Atzom Ketav Shavim. The problem with the word Vayeshev is that they, it represents the idea that they settled in and they feel like they're, we belong here. We're at home. That's right. We're at home.
Yaakov was at home there in Israel. Yeshiv Yaakov there, that's the setting.
Wait a minute. Very good. So therefore, it's as though you understood exactly what was bothering the Netziv, because the Netziv goes further and he says, V'akosav tzoveach, the pasuk cries out, Ki geirim v'toshavim atem imadi. God says you are sojourners and toshavim imadi. The Jews, I'll tell you where I'm going to go to at the end. This world is temporary. He's going to bring the Mishnah and Avos. This world is temporary. This world is the prozdor. This is the passageway that leads to Olam Haba. If you begin to think that this world is the be-all and the end-all, then you're making a terrible mistake, and that can lead to great tragedy. That's what they're saying with the word Vayeshev. What did Avraham Avinu say to the Bnei Chet? Ger v'toshav anochi imachem. I think the Chov explains the idea of ger v'toshav. If you don't want to provide me with my rights, then I'm going to tell you, I'm a toshav, I live here, this land was given to me. But the Jew always has to see himself as a ger, has to see himself as a sojourner. I'm just going through this world. And the longer I'm here in this world, the more mitzvahs I can fulfill, but this is not the end all. Therefore, the word Vayeshev has built into it the idea that, one could also say, in this case here particularly, you are a Yarden Yerecho, you can hear the waters of the Yarden lapping up against the shore, and I'll probably just take a look a few meters up and you see Eretz Yisrael, and here in Shittim, Vayeshev Yisrael b'Shittim. That's the beginning of the Tzava. It goes on to say, the David Amar, David says in Tehillim, Ki ger onochi imchol, God with you I'm a ger. Toshav kichol avotai, the kind of toshav that my fathers were. You know what kind of toshav my fathers were? My fathers were gerim. Gerim from the point of view that we are going through. We're on our way through. We have no permanency because this world is not a permanent world. For Amar, brings a pasuk in Divrei Yom, Ki gerim anochi lefanecha. We are gerim before you. Zeh mar she'amru chazal, Vayeshev Yaakov b'eretz Meguri Aviv. And Yaakov lived in the Eretz Meguri Aviv. Bikesh Yaakov leishev b'shavo. Yaakov wanted to live in peace and tranquility. Shenit yashev Vayeshev Yaakov means shenit yashev da'ato alav ki'ilu elo da'gav olam. He sort of, settled in as though he doesn't have a care or a worry in the world. Kish toshav, like a person who lives here. Lo, look, I'm not a guest here. I'm not a guest. And that's what it says in Pirkei Avos. Rav Yaakov Omer, Ha'olam Hazeh Domo LeProzdor, Bishnei Ha'olam Haba. Hatkein Atzmecha BaProzdor. Prepare yourself in the court, in the passageway, Kadesh Tikones Litrachim, so that you should get into the palace. Kloma, Shem Yeda Ha'odam B'Yikva B'Darko, if a person will know, and he will establish it in his mind, Shaholo Hazeh Inel Adidat Achai, that this world is a temporary dwelling place. Ukoreach Notel Alun, he is like a guest who's staying overnight. Benokel Litakein Masav, it becomes much easier for a person to make sure that all of his deeds will be good. That he will seat himself as though he is beneath the wings of God himself. The fellow feels that it's a git, nothing to worry about. That's the beginning of terrible things that will come afterwards. I was someplace this Shabbos, and I heard a dasha. You know, I don't like hearing dasha. You know, we rabbis were very, very, very critical. You know, and here is this fellow, quite a mixture. He's a teimani, but he dresses and talks and acts like a litai Ashkenazi. That's a real powerful combination. So he's talking. So he says the mitzvah, what he said, the following. He said that Yosef interprets the dream of Paro. And he tells Paro that there are going to be 7 years of abundance. They're going to be followed by 7 years of hunger and famine. And therefore, what you have to do is make sure that during those years of plenty, you're going to prepare whatever is necessary so that the country and the world will be able to survive during the years of famine. So Paro says to him, "You're the best man for it. You're the one. There is nobody as wise and as understanding as you are." So our Teimani Litai Darshan asks, "What do you mean? What do you need to do this job that Yosef is supposed to do? You need a real good administrator. You need a man who's able to keep cheshbon, what's growing here, what's growing there, get trucks to pick that up, have places to store. You need an administrator, a mankal, with a whole bunch of smankalim beneath it. That's what you need. You need a real efficient bureaucracy." He says, "No. You know why Paro chose Yosef? Because in what Yosef said, the way he expressed himself, do you know what he demonstrated? That even now, when the years of plenty are coming, he is capable of feeling the pain of hunger." Mm-hmm. Most people are not able to do that. The fellow who is wealthy or has had a good meal has to be a very special person to be able to feel what it means to be hungry. It takes a special human being. And he saw in Yosef that Yosef is able to see into the future, but not only see into the future, feel into the future. That's a tremendous accomplishment. So then he says, and here I'm going to have to try and see if I can act it out the way he acted out. He says, "Marshal Allah Hadavadar Marshal." A man is going with his son someplace on a plane. He gets into the plane, and he sits down in his seat, and he starts shuffling, he starts moving around. It's too tight, it's too small, I have no place, I can't sit over here. Place, this is impossible, I can't sit over here. This is terrible. So he calls over the
stewardess.
And he says, this is impossible. I mean, human beings are not supposed to sit in seats like this.
Yeah.
So his son says to him, you know, I saw up front there are other seats and they're bigger seats. So he says to the stewardess, listen, I want to sit in those seats up front. I can't sit over here. This is too difficult for me. So she says, can I see your ticket?
Yeah.
Takes a look at the ticket. You bought economy.
Yeah.
That's business class. You bought economy. Mm-hmm. How much more does the business class cost? Tell me how much it costs more. $600. I'll pay you $600 right now. I'll give you $600. I don't want to move up there. So she says to him, no. You have to buy the ticket down there. You're going to come up Lachameh Eschem Shana upstairs and you're going to want to change your seat to your place and help the Titan Bankers. Do you know where you buy the ticket? You buy the ticket down there. No, it's the person who is able to anticipate that down here, this is the place to do mitzvahs, this is the place to do chesed, this is where we pay for the ticket. So if you're really able to anticipate, you know what kind of ticket you're going to pay for? You're most probably going to pay for a first class ticket. And then, you'll come over there, you're not going to be shuckling around trying to find a place for yourself. That's the meaning of the word Vayeshev. Chazal, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, and the Sifri are both telling us that the word Vayeshev represents the idea that a person feels that he has reached a certain stage, and that's it. There's nothing more to anticipate. There is no such thing in life. There's simply no such thing. Life is either a constant process of growth, or God forbid the opposite. And over here, there's a more aggravated problem. Vayeshev, Vayeshev, Yisrael, Beshitim. Now you can see it's going to get even worse. They settled in. They're here. Yeah, we're here. This is our place. You know what happens when you settle in? When you settle in, you begin to feel that you're like one of the rest, then you begin to enter into all kinds of social relationships with others. You want to get to know the people who are living with you in your neighborhood. You go around, you say hello, and as the Gemara will see, describes that this is exactly what happened. You know what Klangesol did in Shittim? They went out litagel. Litagel. For it to you. And by the way, when the Rabbeinu Shel Olam up in heaven is speaking to his heavenly court, in Sefer Iyov it says the Satan arrives. So he asks the Satan, where have you been? I've been around. Mishut ba'aretz u'mehit halechba. I was tiyuling around the world, or shut. Yirmiyahu says, Shotetu b'chutzot Yerushalayim. Go for a tiyul through the streets of Yerushalayim and see if there are men of integrity and honesty. V'yeshiv Yisrael b'shitin, not only they settled in, but they went the next step. They wanted to get to know the people. That's the end. That's the end. The relationship became, we'll read a medrash right away, but the word vayeshev, is already a word that is possible as far as the Jew is concerned. As far as Torah is concerned, vayeshev is dangerous. Vayeshev is dangerous. Here you have to be saving up for a first class ticket. Can't buy it up there. You buy it down here. Here, that's what the Torah Tamima is saying. Go back to the Torah Tamima. There are a few words that didn't come out over here, so you know, I Xeroxed for myself another page. Plus, I don't usually find it when I need it. I did. I spoke too soon. I spoke way too soon. Here. And the Rashi.
We have it.
Underneath Vayeshev Yisrael Vashitim in the Rashi. In the Rashi Ksav. Nidet Biur Ha'inyan. He's talking about that Gemara that wherever it says Vayeshev, it only means Ksav. So the Torah Tamima, the Torah Baruch Halevi Epstein says Nidet Biur Ha'inyan. It seems to me the meaning of this is Al Derech HaMusar. Shein Royal Yisrael Lechavein Lasos Yeshiva Kavur Ba'olam Hazeh. It's not right for a Jew to feel that settled in and so permanent in this world that he begins to enjoy and look for enjoyment and look for all sorts of ways to pass his time. Yan ki al yidei zeh, because by doing this, meisiach dato me'atido tavan itzchiyim, because by doing that, then a person is going to lose sight of his eternal future. One is going to become extremely involved in the passing, ephemeral, nebulous enjoyments of this world. And you lose sight of the future. A person has to figure out the road on which he's traveling. His ultimate goodness is not in his hand. Wherever the Jewish people thought that they were going to settle in, the anger of God comes down upon them. As the Medrash says, Tzadikim avakshim leishiv ashon, Tzadikim want to live in peace. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Lo dayin l'tzadikim, mashem etukam lehem lo habad, it's not enough for the tzadikim what they have for the world to come. El shehim avakshim lehem tanukim ol b'yolam hazeh, they want to have delights. By the way, don't get the wrong impression as though this world has to be a world of sadness and seriousness and walking around bent and broken, carrying the weight of centuries. The mitzvah of simcha, tachas ha'shel, avadotot ha'shem al-kecho b'simcha. What we're talking about over here is settling in the midst of a community or a world that is hostile to us, and their beliefs are hostile, and becoming that friendly that one is leaving themselves open to terrible, terrible temptations. That's exactly what happened over here. And I have this feeling that a number of things are being said over here. This happens right before they enter Eretz Yisrael. You should know, Chevre, you're gonna stay amongst the Goyim. You can choose where you're gonna live. You have to be very, very careful where you're going to live. Who knows what can happen depending on where one is. But you talk in the Medayah comes there, and he says, then it goes on to say that maybe what he means over here is because wherever they stopped in the Midbar, it always says the word Vayichan. They're encamped. The word encamped has built into it the idea of being temporary. Vayeshev is that which is permanent, leaves the impression of permanence. Permanence, or the feeling of permanence, is absolutely dangerous. By the way, even on another level, there are people who simply can't for the life of themselves imagine living any place else than they live right now. That's one of the most limiting things. It limits a human being. The world isn't open to you. You can't give a chadre, you know? Like you You're caught in your little community. There's a whole world out there, a whole Jewish world. I'm talking about a whole Jewish world. People who are not flexible, they're not the kind of people that can make Aliyah. Can't make Aliyah. They're going to have to change. You know, so many things are going to have to happen. 10 years in West Hempstead, the mailman knew me. It's taken me that much and longer for the mailman to know me here in Yerushalayim. So the difference is how important it is for you that the mailman should know you. So if it's important for you, then you got a problem. You got a problem. Maybe you have to stay out every morning over there and wait till the mailman comes so you can introduce yourself. People have to be flexible. Vayeshev is the opposite of being flexible. Yes?
I find this very disturbing because it is the philosophy of the Haredi community that they are closing themselves in the best of the Israeli world. And there's a lot of no good in the Israeli world, but there's a lot of good.
We all, by choice, do exactly what they do by choice. Except the community that we like, that's okay. The community they like is not okay. Forgive me, neither you nor I. We're not people of the world. We can't live any place in every place. We can only live within our kind of community. I'll tell you, I personally wouldn't mind if there'd be a few Chilonim in Harnov. I was sad to see the last Chilonim move out of Harnov. But we are all, by the way, the Jewish people as a whole are limited in this world. That's been the great struggle that's going on over here. When Rabin Olivar Sholem and Peres said, Lo old am levodot yishkon, we're no longer going to be a people who dwells alone. It's not true. Bilam the Russian knew better than all of that. He said, you are Am levodot yishkon. So each one on our own level, we are within a limited framework. We're not citizens of the great wide world. And I tell you, I was even thinking about it this morning. You know, there was an article by somebody in the Jerusalem Post, an anti-missionary fighter. There's a little bit too much buddy-buddy right here in this country with Christian groups. You can be Vayeshev Yisrael, be Yerushalayim, and you're extending a hand to the Christian community. There are even those who speak about grafting on to the Jewish community. Jews and Christians should be grafted, shmefted, and this is coming yet from rabbinic figures, no less. We have to be very careful. I'm limited, and I love my limitations. By the way, those are the limitations that free people. The fact that they were unchained and unfettered, and they began to move in Midianite and Moab society, turned them into slaves of idolatry and harlotry. There is the limitation, the boundaries that make one free. So I'm going to jump now to something else. Do you know how you serve Pa'or? This Baal Pa'or? Baal Pa'or! The service of Baal Pa'or was that the one who serves the deity eases himself. Give me a nice word for that. Does his bodily functions in the presence of this deity. And the more bodily functions, the better. Can you imagine something as ugly and as disgusting as that? What's Taragora? And how did Jews become so connected to something that is so filthy, dirty, repulsive? How am I doing? He was doing that. So the fact is, you know, we can understand. How do you like that? We can understand. You know what Pa'or was? Pa'or was a very modern kind of idolatry. Let it all hang out. I don't care about anybody. There are no limitations. I can do the ugliest thing in the world and I don't care. Nothing is going to fence me in. You see the pictures of the gay parade, they look so ugly and schmutzy and dirty. It's terrible. And they're parading this in the streets of Yerushalayim or any place else in the world. It's ugly. They display, I mean, do I care? You have to tell the whole world what your sexual preference is? Who cares? Why is this important to you? You know what it's important? Nothing controls me. I can do anything I want. The moment you're able to unchain yourself, unfetter, there are no boundaries, there are no limitations. Oy, a person is overcome and overwhelmed with a sense, a false sense of great freedom that one day will turn around upon him and destroy him utterly. Pa'or was the most ugly of all. But Pa'or, depending on the person, you know what Pa'or did? Pa'or gave one a freedom that one never experienced before. We all have, you know, we all have certain things that we do or don't do because of the society in which we live. I have to tell you, I committed an act of grave rebellion against my society this morning. They didn't put the air conditioning on in shul. By Shmon Esrei, I was dripping sweat. When I finished Shmon Esrei, there it is. There were 1,000 eyes on me, and I took off my jacket. And I looked around at everybody, I said, I'm not afraid of any of you. I thought it was much better the rest of the day. Everybody has constraints. Everybody has limitations. And most of them are very, very healthy for our well-being as Jews and as our well-being as human beings. We are no freer than the Haredim or than any other community. And within the Haredi community, there are most probably 20 different kinds of communities. Yes. Within our communities, there are so many. And we don't know what makes them feel free. I don't know, maybe Shabbos demonstrations. I mean, they can do the kind of things I can't do. I can't do it. I can't. But the lesson is, Vayeshev Yisrael B'shitin, and I think it's important that Yisrael has to learn this before they go into Eretz Yisrael. And you're giving me more and more ideas. Now you're going to go into Eretz Yisrael, and then you may someday think, you know, Eretz Yisrael is too small for me. There's a big world out there. And you're going to break out with that big world, and you think that going out over there is going to make you so much happier. And you know what, about 20 years later, after you came with a small fortune to Chutz Laaretz, or with a big fortune and you ended up with a small fortune, you're going to come back on a Nefesh B'Nefesh flight, and you're going to come down and say, Baruch Hashem, I've been gekumen, hey, thank God I came home. With all of the limitations and with all of a human being must have boundaries. Do you know when we know this? Every time a child psychologist or a teacher says, children have to have boundaries. You can't be, I mean, this is already accepted by everybody. You can't let children simply do whatever they want without putting them in, you know, You have to set boundaries for them. Jose shifto son ibnosh. Shlomo HaMelech said it. Spare the rod and spoil the child. Everybody needs boundaries. You know what? I'm going to borrow from Robert Frost. Good fences make good people. I'm changing him. I'm using Robert Frost. I know what Robert Frost said. I'm saying that good fences make good people. We need restraints. Asu siyar glatorah. You're supposed to make a boundary around Torah. First Mishnah, Pirkei Avos. Boy, you know, I don't think I said anything yet that I wanted to say. No, this was... I did say it. There's another word. And this I want you to know about because we talked about it last week and I think in Hukas and in Bullock. Turn over the other side. Let's take a look first at number 7 at the top, right, left hand side. Vayochel ha'om liznot. Vayochel ha'om liznot. And then, by the way, it's not only there. In the first pasuk, it said, "Vayochel ha'am liznot, vatikreno la'am, vayochel ha'am." And then it says, "Vayitzamid Yisrael lebal peor." So the Medrash Bamidbar Rabba says, "Kol makom shenemar ha'am loshim gidnayu." When you use the word "am," that's not so nice. The Kol makom shenemar Yisrael loshim shevach, praiseworthy. Vayihi ha'am kimisonidim. Parsha palotcha. The am was complaining. Vayidabe ha'am belo ko'u. Elokim, I think it says, the b'moshe. The am. Vayif ka'am. The people cried the night of the turn of the Meraglim. Ad om, God says, yinatsuni ha'am. I said, how long are they going to continue to anger me? Vayam Moshe ta'am. When Moshe comes down and he sees them dancing around the Eidol Vayar, Moshe et ha'om ki for ruahu. He's wild, unfettered, no boundaries. That's what he saw. They are dancing with sensual abandon, something lustful about it all. If you take a look at number 8, we're going to have the same idea. Yesh ledardek bo. The Bechorah Parshat Siv, you have to take a look at this parasha and you see in the whole parasha it says, Vayeshev ha'am, Vayochel ha'am, Vatikren ha'am, Vayochel ha'am. Number 8. V'achakach shina ha'kosev, and then the pasuk switches and it changes and it says, Vayitzomit Yisroel, and Yisroel attach themselves to Baal Peor. V'yadu adu ha'am, lefonim peirushah pachot erech. He does something a little different than the Medrash. He says that sometimes the word means the lower classes of the people. The Yisrael moral chashivas and Yisrael represent chashivas. The two, the kam pidesh hakotzov lebal peor. The chi elohehem, the ksiv adko lav bal peoru. And it says that they call them to worship their God. It says, just olinya the betchilom and the kalkulel apchutim. It all began with the lower classes of people. They were the first ones to fall prey to the temptations of Moab and Baal Peor. The lowest from Kolchus of Eidazorus will be Yibud al Afil of Eidazor Acheres LeYachul Lamuba. This is what's fascinating. The could fell prey to any kind of Avodah Zarah. The only ones who fell before the mighty Baal Peor was Yisrael. There was a power that Baal Peor, this ugly, ugly idolatry, had a power, and it's everything that was said. By the way, what we said here earlier about Peor is also said by Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, this idea, this sense of boundless freedom that comes by doing something that is so ugly and unacceptable. Numbers 9 and 10 were very important to me, but all right. It's an idea that I wanted to say 3 weeks ago and 6 weeks ago and a year ago. So I'll find another, don't worry, I'll find another place to come in with him. But you know what, I just have a few minutes to read number 6. It's the Medrash Tanchuma. The Medrash Tanchuma describes what happened in Shechem. But Tikdeno La'am L'Zivche L'Heir, they called the people, the Jewish people, to the sacrifices to their gods. Shehochu Ba'atzad Bilam, the people of Moab followed the advice of Bilam. Shenema, as it says, Hein Heino Hoyul of Negeschol B'far Bilam, all of this fraternization with the women of Moab was all the result of Bilam's advice. You know what they did also? They made booths. V'hoshivu ben zonos, and they put harlots into those booths. Ubiyadem kol kli chemda, and they had all sorts of desirable, beautiful objects. V'hoshazit keino misarsedes liyaldo, an elderly woman would be the one who would bring customers to the younger woman who was in the tent. And b'shoshi yisrael over in the tail of a shuk, as Jews went for a tiyul in the marketplace, zekena omeneslo, the elderly woman says to him, pachur, iyatum avakesh klei pishton, shebo mi beit sham, don't you want to buy clothing of linen and flax that comes from beit sham? And she would show him, vaitam arelo, zekena omeneslo biyoter, the elderly woman would give a higher price, and the younger woman would give her, you know, by her you can get a real bargain, v'yalda v'pachot, mikam v'eilech. From that point on and further, once they have already entered into the give and take, they are conversing with one another. Omeret lo yalda, the younger girl would say, I'll talk about bayit. You're like a member of the family. Shave, b'roru l'atzmacha, sit down, choose whatever it is. V'tzartzur yayin amoni munach etzla, and there was a bottle, a jug of wine of Ammon there. And that's all you need. You have that combustible connection. She gives him wine and she speaks nicely to him. And before you know it, Klal Yisrael, thousands upon thousands, have fallen into the trap that Bilam had laid for them in Midian and in Moab. But very interesting. The wine was there. There had not yet been an Isser place, a non-Jewish wine. So in other words, you can have a glatt kosher drink of Goyish wine sitting with this zona over here. It's great. V'yaldo yotzis mekushetes umusemet umefatoto. And the young girl would come out all dressed and with all sorts of perfumes, and she would seduce him and say to him, Loma no oa ben etchem. Why is it that we love you, v'atem sonim otanu, and you hate us? By the way, you can take this whole story that's going on over here as the relationship between the Christian world
Jewish.
And the Jewish world throughout all of history, it's all the same story. It's all the same story. We love you. God loves you all. You're the chosen people. And you hate us. Let's dialogue. Let's talk. And that's why our rabbis, after they came back from Bavel, they placed a prohibition on the wine of a guy in order to limit a blessed limitation of our social intercourse with the non-Jewish world. We'll do business with you. What else? We'll do business with you, but we're not going to eat with you, and we're not going to drink with you, and we're not going to socialize with you. That's the only thing that can maintain the strength and the eternity of the Jewish people.
Well, that's it.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Yeah, good. Thank you. After the car, the breakfast.